Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's a continuing mystery, Havana Syndrome. Something's been ailing hundreds of U.S. diplomats worldwide in recent years.
Two spy agencies now believe it's possible a foreign adversary could be behind some cases of Havana Syndrome, assessing that a directed energy weapon may have been developed or deployed against U.S. personnel abroad, causing symptoms like headaches and difficulty thinking. But five other agencies investigating the phenomena say it is still unlikely a foreign power is to blame. Shannon Kingston, ABC News, the State Department.
At least 11 deaths are now being attributed to the wildfires in Los Angeles. British royals Harry and Meghan spent part of their Friday meeting with displaced victims in Pasadena, California. We learned of last month's death of Anita Bryant. Her list of credits included being a prominent booster of orange juice and outspoken opponent of gay rights. No cause of death given. Anita Bryant was 84. This is ABC News. Yemen's Houthi rebels continue to menace shipping in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden. The U.S. and Britain are fighting them, and now Israel has struck.
More than 1,200 miles from its shores, Israel carrying out strikes deep inside Yemen and along its western coast, hitting Houthi targets. The Israeli army says its air force and navy struck the ports of Ras Issa and Hodeidah. The Houthis have attacked U.S. warships and commercial cargo ships in the Red Sea.
ABC's Jordana Miller in Jerusalem. Two U.S. astronauts who flew to the International Space Station last June for what was supposed to be a two-week stay are still there because of problems with the troubled Boeing Starliner capsule. Now Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore are going EVA. Williams will take a spacewalk January 16th to do maintenance. On January 23rd, Williams and Butch Wilmore will go out. For Williams, it will be her eighth and ninth spacewalks. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A Wisconsin cranberry farmer is on a mission to restore wetlands by building what he calls mock beaver dams. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Jim Hoffman says he got his interest in beaver dam analogs after helping a Nordic skiing buddy release an orphaned beaver on his property with a constructed lodge and a stuffed teddy bear for company.
And we dropped the beaver in it. The first thing he did is swim right down the culvert and started swimming around the pond. Unfortunately, that was the last we saw of the beaver named Broadus.
Mock beaver dams, as Hoffman calls them, can pool more than 500,000 gallons of water during floods. He says he hopes to mimic the natural features of beaver dams, including enhancing wildlife habitat, stabilizing eroded stream banks, and improving water quality. Wisconsin, like the rest of the country, has lost about half of its wetlands since the late 1700s, due in part to declining beaver populations. Hoffman explains beavers are regarded as a nuisance animal that regulators believe harm trout. State departments have gone so far as to contract with the federal government to wipe them out.
Conservation trout stamp dollars should not be used to blow up beaver dams. It should be used to encourage water quality projects such as what we're working on right now.
Few mock dam projects like these exist in the state. Wisconsin has strict regulations that make permitting expensive. Hoffman has spent $20,000 in the past year alone for his own permit. He hopes to work with the state's Department of Natural Resources to create a new permit that would allow other Wisconsin homeowners to build their own dams. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. This story was produced with original reporting from Bennett Goldstein for Wisconsin Watch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a low of 5 to 10. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, snow developing by night, high low 20s. An inch or two of snow into Sunday. Snow tapering by afternoon, high in the mid-20s. Colder for Monday and Tuesday. Right now it's 13.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Donald Trump says he's going to drill, baby, drill when he gets into office. Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, explains what that means for us. And we go beyond the cheese in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Mattner on Air. Jane Mattner, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We have a jam-packed show coming up for you at 10:33, right after the news. Jim Santel, our colleague here at Civic Media. He is host of Amicus, a Law Review, on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. I highly encourage you to check out his show or at least listen to the podcast.
Yes.
Jim is a former U.S. attorney and is still a practicing attorney. And there have been some legal things going on.
Just a few.
Just a couple of things that we're going to talk about with Jim Santel. It's Friday. That means Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be here after 11 o'clock. We're going to kick around Wisconsin legislature back in session for the first time after a brief vacation.
A long weekend.
A long weekend of 300 days. And what did they get done in their first week back in Madison? We're also going to talk to Dan about, and we talked about this earlier this week, Wisconsin population is not increasing.
Yes.
And the forecasts are not necessarily very promising. So we're going to talk about that with Dan Schaefer. And then there's some burbling about some angry people about the new Milwaukee Public Museum. It feels to me like they're really trying to make something out of nothing.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about it more later, but look who's writing it and we'll talk.
It's a far right group that seems to be fostering this. So we will kick that around with Dan Schaefer in hour number two. We'll wrap it all up as we always do at 11:51 with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Oops, Wrong Number edition. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Doesn't work out well. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. It can be anything. If you have a complaint you want to yell at me, please send it to janesays@civicmedia.us. If you have a guest that you would like us to highlight, maybe an issue going on in your community, no matter where you are across the state, send it in to janesays, JaneSays, at civicmedia.us. This is breaking as we come on the air. Happened about a half an hour ago. Donald Trump was sentenced in New York today. He will now become the first incoming president in history to enter office as a convicted felon. Donald Trump, however, there will be no punishment.
None.
There's nothing. Nothing's going to happen to him for his 34 felony counts. These were based on fraud.
Yes.
These were fraud counts. Yes, he paid Stormy Daniels hush money which in itself is not illegal. Jim will break this down a little bit more thoroughly, but it's my understanding that he hid the payment, and that's where the fraud comes in.
Yeah, he hid the payment.
To make it look like a business expense.
Mm-hmm. And I like the question I asked before is like, would this have, nothing would have happened had he just said, hey, underling, go to the bank, pull a check, make it out to whomever, and give it to them.
Yep. But he didn't do that.
He didn't do that.
No, he decided to hide it, and that's where the fraud came in. So we'll break that down a little bit more thoroughly with Jim Santel after the 11:30 news. Donald Trump walks out of court today. Actually, he appeared virtually. Despite the record, despite what's being said by the DA's office, at the end of the day, Donald Trump is a free man. Again, without any consequences for this, except now he becomes the first convicted felon as president of the United States. I saw something else this morning that said that he won't be able to vote.
Oh, no. What a punishment for him.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, of course, can step in and do something about that, which I highly anticipate that he will.
Absolutely.
If he were a normal, a regular person, say, Donald Trump could have served up to 4 years in prison and a $35,000 fine for each charge. 34 counts. That would have added up to something pretty hefty.
You said 35,000?
35,000 each count.
35,000 times 34. That's $1.19 million.
Well, you could probably get that either from Elon or Tim Cook or, you know, all the guys who are paying for his inauguration now could shell out a little money to help him cover his legal debts. But again, nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's going to happen.
That is not going to happen.
No consequences for that man. And he is going to be the president of the United States. And it's disgusting. And I am ashamed.
I think there are many of his supporters who find that a plus.
Yeah, and I don't want to know them. I don't want to have dinner with them. Because you know what? They consider themselves Republicans.
Rule of law.
And, back the blue and rule of law and law and order and personal responsibility.
Right, from the guy who doesn't take responsibility for anything, but continue.
But, when it comes to this guy, and actually any of your guys really getting in trouble. I mean, really, there should be people from the Congress being investigated for January 6th. Oh, no, it's fine. Why is there no personal responsibility for them? Why is it a double standard? Why good enough for me, not for thee?
Well, because it was all wrong.
Yeah.
It was all wrong. He never should have been charged. It was all made up. It was all a witch hunt or lawfare, which is the new favorite word.
It befuddles me to why I should have to respect anyone who thinks that people should be able to get away with these kinds of crimes. Well, people putting up yard signs and wearing t-shirts saying, I voted for the felon. On what planet are you a good person at that point? When you say, I'm going to vote for the person who committed a crime, even though I'm a part of the law and order party.
Because again, they feel he was unjustly prosecuted.
Yeah, I guess so. I understand what you're saying, but I don't give them that much credit. Like, they honestly, they love this. They love this.
This is stabbing the liberals in the eye, right? Yeah, this is a win for them.
So I guess I'll go back to a question we've asked before then. Do you want your kids or your grandkids to grow up like this?
Should they model his behavior?
Yeah, or just of the GOP. Should they act in such a way that, they get to commit crime? Because I got news for you listeners who think this is awesome. You're not Donald Trump. You're not a millionaire. You're not a billionaire. You don't have this sort of influence and power and money. You will go to jail.
Yeah, you're not going to get the same treatment as Donald Trump did.
Not at all.
Because I'm fairly certain this is the Supreme Court isn't going to come out and say, U.S. citizens can go ahead and do whatever they want. They have full immunity, so it's just all fine.
Hey, Steve, it's fine.
It's fine. We'll talk about this a little bit more with Jim Santel again after the 10:30 news. I think it's important also we're going to talk about the phone call that Donald Trump placed to Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito.
Totally normal, perfect phone call.
Just to chat about a potential hire seems perfectly normal. and perfectly fine.
Totally legitimate.
And if Joe Biden had been calling members of the Supreme Court, I don't know, there would just would have been no ripples either, Greg. Nobody would have noticed that at all. It's perfect. It just happens.
Just tired of the double standard, Jane. I really am.
Something else that broke this morning, the final jobs report under President Biden is in. The U.S. economy added 256,000 jobs in December, far exceeding expectations. The unemployment rate down to 4.1%. Wages grew 3.9% over the past year, well above the 2.7% inflation rate. So Donald Trump, once again, is inheriting a pretty healthy economy, just like he did from President Obama.
Mm-hmm. And he is going to slam it into the ground, and he's going to ruin it. I'm going to go based on, and here's the thing is, I get to say I get to go based off of experience from the last time he left office with a terrible economy in our hands. COVID, like the way he handled COVID, the way he did everything, just, and this is what happens almost every time.
People forget. We have very short memories.
I don't think it's that they've, well.
I think we have very, very short memories.
I think some people forget, and then some people just don't want to admit.
That could well be too.
Yeah. So this notion that we had the greatest economy ever under Donald Trump, hogwash.
Complete hogwash.
And we also understand that the jobs report, the stock market, all of the economic indicators that the US government uses for the economy are different than what the price of eggs is, what milk costs, what groceries cost, schooling, diapers, dog food costs. We understand all of that. But on paper, officially, the economy from a point of view of the U.S. government is robust and growing. And I do not foresee a version of this where Donald Trump takes this and grows it bigger. He is going to drive it into the ground with tariffs.
Yes. And tax cuts for the wealthy.
Tax cuts for the wealthy. All his greatest hits, really. He's really going to come back and just do all the things he did before, which had no help to us. I mean, between the tax cuts that benefit the rich, I'm not rich. Jane, are you rich?
I am tragically not rich.
Tariff, which caused a trade war, which we talked about yesterday, 2 days ago with Darren, had to cut, I think it was a $12 billion check.
To America's farmers.
Yeah. So that's not good as well. So, like, there's not a version anyone can propose to me where Donald Trump takes a robust economy and just makes it better and better and better.
Andrew from Maine on the text line. I'm waiting for the next round of elections where campaigns can rap with, I'm Andrew. I'm a convicted felon and I approve this message.
Yeah. It's the notion that some people think that it's a point of pride and honor that he got arrested, got charged, found guilty. No sentence, no real punishment. It just really bothers me that some people listen. They go, "Yeah,
he got away with it.
He got away with it.
Well, got away with it.
Cool. I hope your grandkids love him because you know they're going to try to commit crimes too."
We're going to talk about the wildfires in California when we return. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review across the network on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, and a former U.S. attorney going to be joining us to talk about things in the news, including Donald Trump. Essentially, he is now an official convicted felon.
With no punishment.
Yeah, he's kind of skating away, except again, with the honor, dubious though it may be, of being the first convicted felon to be elected president of our fine country.
I just feel like he shouldn't get a library then.
It's going to be really small.
It's a pamphlet.
Well, it's going to have lots of pictures.
It's pictures of his tweets.
Lots and lots of pictures, I'm sure. And we did have a comment on the live stream that I think Cassandra makes a really good point. I don't understand why they're fighting so hard against Jack Smith's report being released at this point. It's not like anybody's going to care, right? I think you would make an excellent point, Cassandra, and we're going to talk about that with Jim Santel, too. Eileen Cannon, judge in Florida, kind of stepping in to this situation with the Jack Smith report. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she has jurisdiction on that.
Well, good thing we know. And what's funny is that right now on the live stream, Jim Santel's in the back waiting for us, and I can see him smiling going, oh, I'll tell you. I will tell you.
That's why we have experts. That's why we are lawyer adjacent on this program, so we can have folks who can actually break this down and explain it. So we'll kick that around a little bit more after the 10:30 news.
Tom on the live stream also brings up now do we call him every time we see him, convicted felon president, convicted felon Trump?
I like president convicted felon.
I like felon Trump. That just rolls off the tongue. Felon Trump.
FT. That works too. We did want to take a couple of minutes to talk about these just apocalyptic fires in California. Yeah. The headline from the Washington Post, so far 10 have been killed. 10,000 structures feared destroyed as these wildfires rage into a fourth day. There are now 5 active wildfires, including the Palisades fire that burned almost 20,000 acres, one of the most destructive natural disasters in the history of L.A., the Eaton Fire, over 13,000 acres. The Kenneth Fire has grown to almost 1,000 acres in just a couple of hours. So far, in total, they've burned through more than 35,000 acres, destroyed an estimated 10,000 buildings, and these critical fire conditions could continue into the weekend. If you've seen any of the images, the winds.
Oh my gosh, it's like a wind machine. This is not
normal. I mean, yes, the Santa Ana winds have been around for centuries.
Yeah.
But this is not normal.
No.
And as we talked to Brittany Merlot yesterday, Civic Media meteorologist, she said too that these fires get to such a large they are creating their own weather system.
Yes. Yes.
Because as the warm air rises, mm-hmm. something has to replace it. And so it's a mess. I feel so badly for those people, just like we felt badly for the people who got creamed by Hurricane Helene in western North Carolina.
And Milton.
Yeah. And all those folks. I guess what sets this kind of apart is most of these wildfires tend to occur in more mountainous areas. Mm-hmm. This is very urban. These are very, very urban fires.
And I'm just going to say this because I heard it this morning. Please, if you hear individuals trying to spread any sort of conspiracy theories, shut it down. Shut it down immediately. This is not the time for that. This is not the case. It's not true. These fires occurred naturally because California gets fires. But this is not the time to be starting rumors. And I'm sure people in Congress will be having their own rumors. But I just, right now, it's time to think about the people who are affected. And those fires are destroying the homes of the rich, the middle class, the poor, the everybody. It does not care.
Yeah, there's been a number of celebrities, Billy Crystal, and he and his wife have been in their house since, they built that house in 1979.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, I know Mel Gibson, a number of celebrities, but as you said, it's rich, poor, it's in between. Yep. Fires do not discriminate that way. And I can't even imagine how long it's going to take to start rebuilding.
Well, that's the other thing too, is because it's California. I mean, they're going to need help from the government. And
President Biden said the federal government will be covering all the costs for the initial disaster response. But again, January 20th, Donald Trump and the Republicans take over. So we're going to see what kind of conditions they're going to put on California in order to supply aid.
Oh God, that's 10 days away.
Yeah. It's going to be here before you know it.
Ugh. I mean, President Biden, I know you're listening. He listens to the show. President Biden, just cut that check like right now. Like give him 2/3 right now.
The other thing too, and we had talked to Matic yesterday, Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control, and they've been inundated with dogs since Christmas.
Yeah.
That's just locally. Think of all the animals in California.
I can't.
The folks who weren't able to flee with their pets, and they're turning them over to shelters. So they're going to be overwhelmed. And I would imagine those animals are going to start making their way across the country into shelters across the country. So if you're looking to adopt a pet, now's a really good time.
Yes, it is.
Now would be a very, very good time.
You can adopt, you can foster, you can take what they call a road test.
Yeah, foster, do it. Take them home for 5 days and see how it goes and see if you get along. So we have news coming up next. Stay with us when we return. Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, will be here to break down all the complicated legal issues because we don't do that.
No, I just whine. I just like to whine.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast, statewide, countrywide. We are global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's a continuing mystery, Havana Syndrome. Something's been ailing hundreds of U.S. diplomats worldwide in recent years.
Two spy agencies now believe it's possible a foreign adversary could be behind some cases of Havana Syndrome, assessing that a directed energy weapon may have been developed or deployed against U.S. personnel abroad, causing symptoms like headaches and difficulty thinking. But five other agencies investigating the phenomena say it is still unlikely a foreign power is to blame. Shannon Kingston, ABC News, the State Department.
At least 11 deaths are now being attributed to the wildfires in Los Angeles. British royals Harry and Meghan spent part of their Friday meeting with displaced victims in Pasadena, California. We learned of last month's death of Anita Bryant. Her list of credits included being a prominent booster of orange juice and outspoken opponent of gay rights. No cause of death given. Anita Bryant was 84. This is ABC.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Another win for Marquette. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a 79-71 win over Creighton in Milwaukee. Cam Jones led the Golden Eagles with 22 points. Head coach Shaka Smart.
This was a hard game. Creighton, they make things difficult in a lot of ways on both ends of the floor. Another sellout crowd on a Friday night. Fiserv Forum. Where else would you want to be? We had some really good possessions as well.
In Madison, the Badgers blew out the Iowa Hawkeyes 116-85 at the Kohl Center. John Blackwell with a career-high 32 points. NBA, the Bucks at home tonight against the Trailblazers. NFL, it's the Packers and the Bears in Green Bay tomorrow at noon. Chicago hoping to snap a 10-game losing streak, but last week their defense held Seattle to just 6 points.
Edmonds, Sweat, the D-line, Jalen Johnson, they've got a lot of great players, and they're playing extremely hard.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a low of 5 to 10. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, snow developing by night, high low 20s. An inch or two of snow in a Sunday. Snow tapering by afternoon, high in the mid 20s. Colder for Monday and Tuesday. Right now it's 13.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the author of Building the Bucks, Jordan Tresky, and talk entertainment with Capital Times reporter Victoria Davis. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and our resident young person, Calvin, on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855 752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Friday. Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation area after 11 o'clock, so stick around for that. Just a reminder to hockey fans, tonight, Wisconsin versus LIU. Our broadcast starts at 6:30, and you can listen to that action tonight on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Wisconsin versus LIU hockey tonight, 6:30 broadcast start on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network, and a former U.S. attorney and still practicing attorney. Jim Santel is here. Good morning, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Jane, Greg, always a pleasure and an honor, even on a, especially on a busy news day like today, 10 days out from a thing called an inauguration, and our president, our future president, much in the news in at least two venues today.
Yeah, well, first of all, we can now call him convicted felon Trump because he appeared virtually in New York court this morning about the 34 charges. And these were fraud charges, correct, Jim?
Absolutely. This is violations of New York law, state law, 34 of them. And to add to the importance of what you're saying, Jane, remember, this was a conviction based not upon some political or partisan effort. This was a jury of his peers finding what? Unanimously, all 12 of them, beyond a reasonable doubt, that Donald Trump committed exactly what you just said, which is violations of New York law, fraud and false statements in records. People sometimes talk about this as the hush money case, but in fact, it's much more important, as you and Greg and others have noted repeatedly. This is really one of the first election interference cases. This was Donald Trump's attempt to skew votes, to skew the elective process way back in 2016. So to dismiss it just as a technical documents case or a fraud case based upon some records that were miskept, not the case, much more important. And again, 10 days from now, a gentleman will be standing on the west side of the Capitol building, raising his right hand, promising to swear to allegiance to the oath, his oath and also the Constitution as a convicted felon in the United States of America. Never before in 248 years in American history have we witnessed that. We'll do it in 10 days.
It begs the question, if a man would go to such lengths to skirt an election, the electoral process in this country, how do we believe him when he says he's going to stand for the Constitution? I'm not a lawyer, but that's all I'll say on that.
I think that, you know, there you don't have to be a lawyer at all. It's probably a good thing not all of us are lawyers, just because you can have that common sense response. You know, I always say the law should reflect what people generally understand, should be based upon common sense and good discretion and judgment, those kinds of things. This is one of those situations where you look at that, not the split screen, you look at the single screen, and you see a man who, but for timing, but for some other issues we've also discussed, should still be facing federal prosecution in a couple of venues and another state prosecution there in Georgia. He has been the recipient of an awful lot of very good, effective lawyering. It has delayed things. This one he did not delay, although he tried to the bitter moment, as late as last week, to get his friends to the Supreme Court. Even there, Jane and Greg, stunning to think about this, that four members of our Supreme Court thought, nope, we should delay this sentencing. Let's stop it from going ahead. Thank goodness we have, again, five of them who said, no, this has got to happen. There too, what has happened to the rule of law? This is what we do in America after a jury has found someone guilty. You can file all kinds of motions. That's appropriate. A good aggressive defense, that's what we want out of a system. But in the end, we sentence someone for the crimes for which they've been committed. And we have four members of our Supreme Court saying, no, because we don't know exactly why, but presumably because he's going to be the president, therefore he's above the law. He's above the process that attends every other defendant who's out there in state and federal court right now thinking, where is my delay that ends up again in this kind of a situation? Well, it didn't happen for Donald Trump. He does get, frankly, also a very, very lenient sentence, really almost a non-sentence, this non-conditional, unconditional discharge, no fine, no right. Prison, no supervision. The important thing, however, again, as we said at the top of the segment here, He goes into this. He is a convicted felon. And that is an appropriate, not only legal, but also historical appellation to put to him now and presumably forever.
I just want to recap the details of this real quickly, Jim, this whole Stormy Daniels payoff. So Donald Trump had his henchman, Michael Cohen, cut a check to Stormy Daniels so that she wouldn't spill the beans about the fact that she was sleeping with him right after his wife had a baby. He didn't want to get this. He didn't want this to get out before the election. So he paid her off. But instead of just admitting and writing it from a personal checking account, he hid this in his business records. And that's where the fraud came in, correct?
That's exactly right, Shane. That's the closing argument. You could have been there and made that on behalf of Alvin Bragg and his attorneys. That's exactly what this is all about. And even to be more in the details, if you will, the fraud was disguising this supposedly as legal services that his attorney, Michael Cohen, provided. And of course, Michael Cohen, who's since been very much estranged from Donald Trump, takes the stand, as do the documents themselves, and say, no, that has nothing to do with it. That's the fraud, that you're describing this as him providing some legal services, when in fact, it was repaying Michael Cohen for the money that Michael Cohen, out of his own mortgage funds, paid to Stormy Daniels to keep this all afloat. It's, on the one hand, it's sort of complicated. On the other hand, it's not. It's garden variety fraud. Remember also that all this happened, you got it just right in terms of the timing too. Remember the Access Hollywood tape?
Oh, yes.
This also kind of came from that, when there was a sense of, oh my gosh, we're going to lose the election, right? We now know based upon other investigations, including this one, we can't possibly have yet another shoe drop here. This can't come out there. Stop this at all costs. Shut her up. You reach out to David Pecker, who is the head of this rag that was going to publish this story. Catch and kill was the phrase.
Yeah.
Stop this from happening. We can't suffer any more damage. That's also a part of the fraud.
If you're just joining us, Jim Santel is our guest. He's host of Amicus, a law review across Civic Media Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. I highly encourage you to check out Jim's show. If you can't listen live, you can always listen to it as a podcast. Just go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, and that will take you to Jim's show, Amicus, a law review. Going back to Donald Trump calling Samuel Alito. Come on. What are they sharing recipes or what? I'm just calling Sam so we can chat.
Right. We wish, Jane, that they were, well, I don't know if we do wish that they were sharing recipes, but that would be a whole lot more benign. It gets even more interesting the more you dig into this. So what you have here, of course, a couple of things. We also know that Donald Trump was seeking, again, it happened shortly after the phone call takes place. His lawyers go to the Supreme Court and say, stop this from happening. That timing in and itself is problematic because it certainly suggests that, gee, you want to prime the pump. You're having contact with someone who's deciding that you're, frankly, a personal matter, probably hours before you're doing it. It gets even more curious because, of course, you've got Sam Alito saying, well, all this was just about a former law clerk of mine. He was calling as kind of the human resources person from the White House to check on whether or not this is a good guy. First of all, somebody else in the staff can certainly do that down the road. It doesn't have to be Donald Trump himself. Second, it now appears that the reason why the call was made was the L word once again, loyalty. Checking to determine whether this young man, who was probably very bright and good and perhaps deserves a position of whatever Donald Trump may put him in, whether he was sufficiently loyal to Donald Trump. This is a loyalty test on whether or not he could actually produce an associate justice who would speak on his behalf, because there were concerns about when he was in this former law clerk in justice, did some things that prompted some of the loyalists, some of the transition folks, to be concerned about his loyalty. And so this just gets deeper and deeper. The big issue, of course, the big headline that you just noted is just that. The president of the United States of America, frankly, I would go this far, should never be picking up the phone and calling a Supreme Court justice about anything, not at all. If you've got to have some contact because you're inviting them to a very official event, somebody else can do that. Secondarily, the notion that you're having conversations, arguably related to something not associated with the call, the appearance is so bad, it's just one more reason why a lack of an ethics code, as the three of us have chatted before, is so profoundly telling here. We wouldn't be doing these things if there was an enforced ethics code that prevented these kinds of appearances and realities of impropriety. We've got just one more, comes in the wake just a couple of weeks ago, more disclosures from the Senate Judiciary Committee that Clarence Thomas still didn't report a couple of more vacations and report and connections.
Why start now, Jim? Right, why start now? Come on, I've been doing this for decades. It's been going great. Right.
But it just never ends. And that's going into this next term. Now we've got this precedent now. So the president picks up the phone and calls the other branch of government. And again, we rely upon the accuracy or the inaccuracy of the reporting on this. It is just one more reason for all of us on all sides of the political aisle to be outraged and to say, no, no, this should not happen. But as you just said, Jane, add it to the list.
But I think too, Jim, I would like to think that that is one thing on which we can all agree, is that our Supreme Court justices have to adhere to some kind of code of ethics that they don't police themselves. That's where the problem is. We'll follow our ethics. Trust us. We're Supremes.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And that was all nine. All nine said that.
All nine said that.
All nine.
Right. They all signed off on the document. Interestingly, you know, the little, not so much crack, but the good thing coming out of this, if there is a good thing with a very small g, you do have a couple of the justices, needless to say, they're the predictable justices, including Elena Kagan, who says, you know what, we do need something enforceable. And maybe what we should do is appoint a special panel of lower court judges, experienced, tenured, appellate court judges, some district court judges. And if there are questions, number one, about conduct, especially when it comes to hearing cases in advance of that. Gee, should I be hearing Jane Mattinara's case? Should Greg Bach is now in front of me. I'm good friends with both of them. Should I be hearing that case? Maybe that panel, if it doesn't already tell you, the answer should be no. But maybe that panel can be the enforceable mechanism. And of course, that goes nowhere because it would require enforcement.
That's the problem. I would love to see that proposal go in front of Alito, Thomas, and Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Three guys who love to be told when they're wrong or right or told what to do. Right. I'm not going to speak to the ego of the other six, but those three specifically, oh my goodness.
But Supreme Court Justice and witch hunt fan Samuel Alito, because that's how I will always refer to him since his writings in the Dobb decision where he cited some guy from the 16th century about witch hunting, perfectly applicable when we're talking about life for women in 2024, 2025. The fact that no one is he should have recused himself from so many cases already, Alito in particular.
Absolutely. We've got so many conflicts here, and all you need to do is look to the left, left or right a little bit more and see Clarence Thomas, right, who's got all these problems. Again, a conflict problems, not only with respect to this fellow named Harlan Crow, other things out there. Clarence Thomas, as we know already, has as a spouse. Her name is Ginny Thomas. And even when it comes to all those issues related to the investigation of January 6th, doesn't recuse himself. We know that Ginny Thomas was very much in contact with White House folks at the time. All kinds of problems, too many. And it's just almost overwhelming. Unfortunately, it should not be the precedent going forward.
Jim Santel is our guest. We're going to continue our conversation. Bill, I see you on the line. Hang on. Eileen Cannon, where did you get jurisdiction in this? That's coming up. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. And next hour at this time, we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Whoops, Wrong Number edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, we're joined by our colleague Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney and also host of Amicus, a law review across the network Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jim Texter wants to know, do any of the Amicus shows give information on how to invoke Trump-style delays to personal legal problems?
There are times when just by virtue of describing how this is done, that maybe we are providing that kind of inappropriate legal advice. And again, I know the caller is saying that somewhat tongue in cheek, but it's a reality. And undeniably, that was Donald Trump's relatively successful until this morning, completely successful until this morning, a process, and that is continuing to barrage all of us, including the courts, with motions, many of which are frivolous. Yep. Even this morning, Juan Merchan, again, sort of implicitly noting that Donald Trump has just been over the top in terms of delays and requests for things that have been denied already. This is what Donald Trump does. I hope that's not the lesson of our Saturday morning broadcast. I hope instead we're talking about the ways in which all good litigants, whether you're a lawyer or not, should be addressing the merits. And Donald Trump, under these circumstances, I am no longer afraid to say it. This is not hyperbole. Plainly, there is one person who is above the law, and that is Donald Trump. It is the President of the United States of America. That we knew from what John Roberts wrote way back in July, and now we've got an affirmation of the incarnation of that. And now, Jane and Greg, we hold on for the next 4 years to see if he exercises even more of that and says, hey, Supreme Court told me, yep, I can be free from those entanglements. What is next? What kind of liberty does that give him with the imprimatur, with the okay of the United States Supreme Court? That's the world in which we're living in 2025.
We're going to talk
the
about
nation we're living in.
We're going to talk about Judge Eileen Cannon in Florida stepping into this release from Jack Smith. But we have Bill from Oconomowoc has been very patient on the line. Good morning, Bill. Did you have a question for Jim or just a comment?
Just a comment, but kind of a question also. I really believe we need an independent panel, six people. They could be retired judges, what have you, six conservatives and six liberals. And they're going to vote on based on honesty, integrity, humanitarianism, diplomacy, humility, and all the things that go into making presidents great. We saw some great presidents at Jimmy's funeral. And I don't know if Jimmy planned it, but his timing was impeccable to bring to light what real character is. And when real character isn't there, we all saw on TV how Trump was isolated from the group. one of Jim's thoughts on creating a panel and maybe even an app that would give all of us some input. You know, polls are everything.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. What do you think, Jim? Do you think that's even within the realm of possibility?
Right. Well, certainly Bill's recommendation about a panel that would monitor these ethical issues inside the Supreme Court, as we just said, that I think is entirely appropriate. And beyond that, you know, one of the good things that federal judges, both lower court, district court, and appellate court judges sometimes do with authorization within the ethics rules, although there's not a panel of the sort, that a broad-based panel on all sorts of issues, they do get out there from time to time, and they speak on non-case related issues. They talk about things like integrity that Bill was just commenting about, and the reasons for government acting the way that it does. It's got a lot to commend itself. Hear, hear, Bill. I approve entirely, as I suspect Jane and Greg do also.
We got about 3 minutes left, Jim, and I do want to talk about Eileen Cannon, Donald Trump's favorite attorney, who he appointed. And a headline from the Bulwark reads, Trump's favorite judge scrambles to block Jack Smith's final report. How does she even have standing in this?
She doesn't. She has no jurisdiction and no basis for doing this. Along the way, the small way of looking at this is, remember when she dismissed this case? This is the Mar-a-Lago documents case. This is arguably the national security case,
yeah,
again, to underscore the importance of it. What she says is, well, Jack Smith had no authority to do what he's doing. He was improperly appointed. Again, contrary to every piece of precedent that's out there, she dismisses the whole thing. And at the time, she says, I am done with this. Take this off my docket. Everything is off. Stop any pleadings. We're tying this up and throwing it, frankly, into the bin of cases now resolved. She steps back into it, apparently, contrary to that. And she says, well, wait a minute. I think I'm going to impose this restriction about the release of the report on both January 6th and also the documents, which is wildly beyond what she can do. Goes up to the 11th Circuit, which is the other jurisdictional issue here. The 11th Circuit has the case. And again, in our system, the lower court judge then doesn't do anything more. And what did they do just again about 24 hours just ago? The 11th Circuit basically slaps her down for a third time and says, no, you can't do this. There is legislation. The law requires a report to be issued. The one thing they do sort of curiously is they say, we're not going to overturn her 3-day order. And so they're giving parties about 3 days until Sunday to do anything more. Presumably on Sunday, we're finally going to get what Merrick Garland wants to release, which is going to be the J6 report. He may or may not release all of the documents case. Why? Because there's still a couple of defendants who are banning about out there,
right,
the obstruction folks. But we're going to get something, presumably. And again, this is strike number 3 for Eileen Cannon. Jane has just said no jurisdiction. And she continues to do what she thinks Donald Trump wants her to do.
Cassandra on the live stream says she's going to be the next Supreme Court justice. And if there's an opening, I think that's a pretty fair bet. Cassandra also says, why are they so worried about releasing these reports? It's not like anybody's going to read it anyway. Jim Santel, thank you so very much. Listen to him tomorrow, 9 to 11 across the network for Amicus, a law review. News is next. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks, Jim.
Always a pleasure, friends. Take care.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will look back on the weekend news happenings and also review the Packers game and what lies ahead, if anything. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. As he prepares to leave office, President Biden is touting the December jobs report, 256,000 created during his final full month in office, unemployment down to 4.1%. He
talked up the Inflation Reduction Act, the American Rescue Plan, and the CHIPS Act.
I believe the economy I'm leaving is the best in the world and stronger than ever for all Americans. So I think that's what we have. We'll see what the next president does.
Mr. Biden delivers his farewell address to the nation next week, Wednesday. The death toll from the Los Angeles wildfires rose to 11. The fires have destroyed more than 12,000 homes and other structures. Add Meta to the list of corporate entities jettisoning DEI, the parent of Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, terminating major diversity, equity, and inclusion programs effective immediately for hiring, training, and picking suppliers. This is ABC News. Snow in the deep south?
It happens maybe every 5 to 10 years.
Kelsey Bond in Atlanta, where a winter storm hit the city.
11 states.
I remember there being a big snowpocalypse when I was in high school and another one when I was in college, but it's pretty rare. It's a big deal when there's this much snow in Atlanta.
Delta Airlines says it isn't sure if the snow played a role. The Atlanta to Minneapolis flight aborted takeoff after an engine issue.
The footage obtained by ABC News shows that Delta plane stuck on the tarmac with those emergency inflatable sliders coming out of the plane. We see a lot of those passengers frantically exiting the plane, essentially trying to get away from the area as fast as they could.
ABC's Ika Jachi, 4 passengers suffered minor injuries. This happening as global planetary scientists declared 2024 the hottest year ever. The jump so large that planet Earth temporarily blew through a major climate threshold. Richard.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say.